I send warm greetings to each and every one of you from this lovely, lovely sanctuary. And we'd like to prepare our hearts for worship by singing three hymns. The first one we will be singing is, If Thou But Suffer God to Guide Thee, 142. When Morning Gilds the Skies, 185. Battle Hymn of the Republic, 717.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosened the faithful lighting of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen Him in the watchfire of 100 gold. They have builded Him an altar in the evening dews, and then I can read His righteous sentence by the demon flaring lamp. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the house of worship. This morning, I want to remind you that the office will be closed tomorrow in honor of Martin Luther King holiday, but also we want to acknowledge birthdays this week or today. And can we sing happy birthday, Calvin? To you, happy birthday, dear Hildy. Happy birthday to you. All those listed to you. Also, we have a picture of Mary Dussel on the screen this morning, and Rachel, thank you so much for that. Also, I remind you that the parent night out is this Friday from 6 to 8:30. So if you have children I want to take advantage of that. Please do that for that. Okay, if there's no other announcements, we'll call your attention to the call to worship. Please join with me. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you.
You are precious and honored in my sight, because I love you.
Please join us together in number 156, verses 1 through 3. I love to tell the story. Please join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, in trying times we get lost and confused. Like stranded sheep, we wander away from your path. Grant us discernment to know your will.
Inspire us to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
May we be ready to say yes to your call and leave behind our short-sighted plans. With all our being, we recommit ourselves to follow your lead and carry out your will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. One of the tasks that we all are given is to be the source of strength for one another, especially for those whom that God has placed in our lives, beginning from our lovely family members, our friends, and all those that God has placed in our life circle. So let us hold them in our hearts and go to the Lord's presence through our prayer. How sweet and wonderful it is, O Lord, that we can come to you, that we can pause all our life's worldly affairs and focus on you and reflect upon how great you are, how wonderfully you have guided us unto this day, and how abundantly that you have provided for us. And as we look at all that you have done for us, we give our praise and thanksgiving as we join each other in this act of worship. So, Lord, our hearts are open before you. Our lives are open unto you, O Lord, that you may continue to come in and give us the assurance of your presence and remind us that we belong to you, that you are our creator, that we are your creation. You are with us throughout our lifelong journey, watching over us, protecting us, guiding us, and providing for us. So, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for who we are. You have done marvelous things before our eyes, and you have sustained us through these hard times. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your goodness and mercy you have poured out unto each and every one of us. Though our hearts are troubled as we look at some of the things happening in the world, and the things that trouble us, many lives are lost by this COVID, and many are still suffering. Hospitals are full with the patient, and Lord, we are going through a really difficult times. But as we have endured with your grace and mercy, we know that we will continue on. We will fight on, and we will be victorious in the end. So give us the courage, O Lord. Give us the strength that we need, that we may not be disheartened, but we will continue to hold on to your grace all the more, that we will continue this our lifelong battle. So, Lord, we lift up our prayers for all those who are on the front line battling this virus. We ask you your protection, your strengthening presence upon them, that they may continue to provide the care that people need. Lord, we ask you to bring peace and stability upon this nation as we are about to see the new presidency. And we pray that your guidance and your protection and your blessing will be upon the new president-elect, that we may continue to do your will in the world today as a nation, and that we may continue to be a peacemaker in the world. As we come and worship you this morning, we pray that this nation will be united as one, as we have seen many divisions in the nation in terms of the racial barriers and economic barriers and all the other conflict we have seen. We pray that you will be the source of reconciliation, that we may be able to embrace one another and continue to thrive as one nation under you, O Lord. So as we come before your presence, our hearts are open and we are ready to receive your word and your will. And we ask you to come unto us through your Holy Spirit, speaking to us and filling our hearts with your comfort and your peace, knowing that you are in our life, reigning over our lives and all the affairs of this world. We humbly submit ourselves to you and pray that you continue to fulfill your will in the world by using us, and we recommit ourselves to be your instrument of your peace. So we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Deb, it's time for another one of your exciting young at heart moments. So thank you.
Today's story is called Dr. DeSoto by William Steig. Dr. DeSoto, the dentist, did very good work, so he had no end of patients. Those close to his own size, moles, chipmunks, etc., sat in the regular dentist's chair. Larger animals sat on the floor while Dr. DeSoto stood on a ladder. Dr. DeSoto was especially popular with the big animals. He was able to work inside their mouths, wearing rubbers to keep his feet dry, and his fingers were so delicate and his drill so dainty they could hardly feel any pain. Being a mouse, he refused to treat animals dangerous to mice, and it said so on his sign. When the doorbell rang, he and his wife would look out the window. They wouldn't admit even the most timid-looking cat. One day, when they looked out, they saw a well-dressed fox with a flannel bandage around his jaw. "I cannot treat you, sir," Dr. DeSoto shouted. "Sir, haven't you read my sign?" "Please," the fox wailed, "have mercy, I'm suffering," and he wept so bitterly it was pitiful to see. "Just a moment," said Dr. DeSoto. "That poor fox," he whispered to his wife, "what shall we do?" "Let's risk it," said Mrs. DeSoto. She pressed the buzzer and let the fox in. He was up the stairs in a flash. bless your little hearts," he cried, falling to his knees. "I beg you, do something. My tooth is killing me." "Sit on the floor, sir," said Dr. DeSoto, "and remove the bandage, please." Dr. DeSoto climbed up the ladder and bravely entered the fox's mouth. "Ow, wow," he gasped. The fox had a rotten bicuspid and unusually bad breath. "This tooth will have to come out," Dr. DeSoto announced, "but we can make you a new one." "Just stop the pain," whimpered the fox, wiping some tears away. Despite his misery, he realized that he had a tasty little morsel in his mouth, and his jaw began to quiver. "Keep open," yelled Dr. DeSoto. "Wide open," yelled his wife. "I'm giving you gas now," said Dr. DeSoto. "You won't feel a thing when I yank that tooth." Soon the fox was in dreamland. Yummy," he mumbled. "How I love them raw, with just a pinch of salt and a dry white wine." They could guess what he was dreaming about. Mrs. DeSoto handed her husband a pole to keep the fox's mouth open. Dr. DeSoto fastened his extractor to the bad tooth, and then he and his wife began turning the winch. Finally, with a sucking sound, the tooth popped out and hung swaying in the air. "I'm bleeding," the fox yelped when he came to. Dr. DeSoto ran up the ladder and stuffed some gauze in the hole. "The worst is over," he said. "I'll have your new tooth ready tomorrow. Be here at 11 sharp." The fox, still woozy, said goodbye and left. On his way home, he wondered if it would be shabby of him to eat the DeSotos when the job was done. After office hours, Mrs. DeSoto molded a tooth of pure gold and polished it. "Raw with salt indeed," muttered Dr. DeSoto. "How foolish to trust a fox." "He didn't know what he was saying," said Mrs. DeSoto. "Why should he harm us? We're helping him." "Because he's a fox," said Dr. DeSoto. "They're wicked, wicked creatures." That night, the DeSotos lay awake worrying. "Should we let him in tomorrow?" Mrs. DeSoto wondered. "Once I start a job," said the dentist firmly, "I finish it. My father was the same way." "But we must do something to protect ourselves," said his wife. They talked and talked until they formed a plan. "I think it will work," said Dr. DeSoto. A minute later, he was snoring. The next morning, promptly at 11, a very cheerful fox turned up. He was feeling not a particle of pain. When Dr. DeSoto got into his mouth, he snapped it shut for a moment and then opened wide and laughed. "Just a joke," he chortled. "Be serious," said the dentist sharply. "We have work to do." His wife was lugging the heavy tooth up the ladder. "Oh, I love it," exclaimed the fox. "It's just beautiful." Dr. DeSoto set the gold tooth in its socket and hooked it up to the teeth on both sides. The fox caressed the new tooth with his tongue. "My, it feels good," he thought. "I really shouldn't eat them. On the other hand, how can I resist?" "We're not finished," said Dr. DeSoto, holding up a large jug. "I have here a remarkable preparation developed only recently by my wife and me. With just one application, you can be rid of toothaches forever. How would you like to be the first one to receive this unique treatment?" "I certainly would," the fox declared. "I'd be honored." He hated any kind of personal pain. "You will never have to see us again," said Dr. DeSoto. "No one will see you again," said the fox to himself. He had definitely made up his mind to eat them, with the help of his brand new tooth. Dr. DeSoto stepped into the fox's mouth with a bucket of secret formula and proceeded to paint each tooth. He hummed as he worked. Mrs. DeSoto stood by on the ladder, pointing out spots he had missed. The fox looked very happy. When the dentist was done, he stepped out. "Now close your jaws tight," he said, "and keep them closed for a full minute." The fox did as he was told. Then he tried to open his mouth, but his teeth were stuck together. "Ah, excuse me, I should have mentioned," said Dr. DeSoto. "You won't be able to open your mouth for a day or two. The secret formula must first permeate the dentine. But don't worry, no pain ever again." The fox was stunned. He stared at Dr. DeSoto and then at his wife. They smiled and waited. All he could do was say, "Thank you very much," through his clenched teeth, and got up and leave. He tried to do so with dignity. Then he stumbled down the stairs in the daze. Dr. DeSoto and his assistant had outfoxed the fox. They kissed each other and took the rest of the day off. The end. God gave us a brain to use, so use it wisely. Be clever, be smart, and work for good in the world. Amen.
Please join us in our next hymn, number 172, My Jesus, I Love Thee. This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus meaning departure. This is the departure of the slaves from the Egyptians. And it, of course, Moses is the central figure in this book of Exodus, well known for the Ten Commandments. Also, we start with chapter 14, verses 8 through 18, pages 60 and 61. As soon as I find it here. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out boldly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers and his army. They overtook them, camped by the sea, by Pharaoh's and in front of Baal-Anshin. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians. for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness. But Moses said to the public, do not be afraid, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today for the Egyptians whom you are, for you today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, but you lift up your staff and stretch out your hands over the sea, will divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, whom I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his chariot drivers. May the Lord bless his reading on his words and our understanding.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ralph. Good morning. I send warm greeting to each and every one of you from this lovely sanctuary and pray that our Lord will visit each and every one of you through the Holy Spirit this morning and will speak to your heart. You know, you are in a small town when you don't use your turn signal because everyone knows your car and even where you are going. You dial a wrong number and talk for 15 minutes anyway. You drive into the ditch 5 miles out of town and the word gets back into town before you do. You write a check on the wrong bank and it covers it for you. You miss a Sunday at church and during the following week, you expect visits, calls, and get well cards. Someone not quite familiar asks you how you feel and then listens to what you say. Just like our little church, everyone knows you, and in a lot of cases, many knows your whole life stories. But who knows more about you and your life stories? More than your families and friends, even more than yourself. That is our God. God knows our beginnings. David confessed that God's knowledge about us starts from the womb. Psalm 139 says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. According to Paul, God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. God knows our whole life journey and even our ends. We tend to think that our life stories are all about choices we make in different times and in different places. But that under the light of the scriptures, our life runs by much greater force than our will and interest. Our life stories are not just about our interests and tendencies, but God's purpose and how God fulfills his purpose in us. During the pandemic, I have become more focused on God's reigns. In my daily prayer, a part that gets me is this part, "Thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As a person with reason and faith, I question, why did God allow the pandemic to happen? How is God involved in our battle against this terrible virus? Is there a message God wants to communicate with us through it? These questions are associated with God's sovereignty and also the human free will. We have a willpower. We choose what we like. But where does the sovereignty of God comes in? The Word of God in Exodus helps us understand these big questions. What we have just read is the climax of Exodus. Israel has suffered from slavery over four centuries under the most dominant empire of the world. Israel did not have any organized military force to go against that superpower. Even if they could, fighting and defeating Egyptians was not a viable option. The Bible vibrantly describes how God demonstrated his power to break the bondage of slavery through Moses. They just acquired freedom by God's mighty hand, and their freedom was about to be evaporated. Why did Pharaoh suddenly change his mind? He let the people go just a few days ago. The verse 8 describes why. "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites and overtook them." Why did the Lord harden the heart of Pharaoh? According to the book of Exodus, it was not the first time that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. There were actually more than a dozen times that God did harden his heart. In fact, from the time God first called Moses, God was very clear about it. And he said he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 4, "The Lord said to Moses, 'When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.'" Whenever Moses appeared before Pharaoh and displayed God's power, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. And now, even after the people were finally freed, God changed Pharaoh's heart to chase his former slaves. Freedom after over four centuries of slavery was all good. There was no reason to delay it or endanger the deliverance whatsoever. Hardening Pharaoh's heart to delay the breaking the bondage and now to chase the people did not make any sense at all. So Israel cried out. "Was it because there was no grave in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." From the perspective of God's sovereignty and human free will, their cry sounded like that they prefer slavery to free will to God's sovereign rule over their lives. If I were among Israel, then I would have wanted a different scenarios as well as they cried out. I would have wanted an immediate deliverance without delay when Moses appeared to Pharaoh. I would not have wanted a delay and would go through series of demonstration of God's power and plagues. I would not have wanted Egyptians to chase, but wanted God to wipe them out before they even came close. But why did God keep on hardening the heart of Pharaoh, which caused more suffering and pain on the part of Israel? Let's take a different angle to look on the question of God's sovereignty from Pharaoh's side. Pharaoh was the most powerful ruler in the world. He was so powerful that he was regarded as a god. And we can even see those signs in the museums today. He was practicing his own power both when he did not let Israel go and also when he finally let them go. But the biblical description gives a different narrative. He was not practicing free human will, but was only controlled by God. He was not willing to let go of God's people, not because of his personal choice made by reason and free will, but because of the supernatural power of God controlling his heart. Did Pharaoh have any knowledge of it? No, not in the least. As to the sovereign rule of God, we have questions and doubts as Israel did, because God does not operate with the common sense we have. As Pharaoh was completely oblivious to how God operated, we often do not comprehend God's sovereign rule. But the Exodus is only one of countless examples of how God rules with his sovereign power throughout the scriptures and the human history. J.C. von Hoffman, a German Protestant biblical theologian of the 19th century, called this sovereign rule of God in human affairs Heilgestalt, which means Heil, that's the salvation, and Gestalt, that's the history. Salvation history. Human history is not formulated by human interest and will. God is the very force to turn the world around the way he intends and fulfill salvation. We have examples of it in our own history. Let us have a glimpse of some of the big crises that makes us question God's sovereign rule over our nation. Why did God allow Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941? America then was not interested in involving in Second World War. Japanese did not plan all-out war against U.S. either. They intended the attack only as a preventive action to keep United States Pacific Fleet from interfering with their military actions in Southeast Asia. But Germany and Italy declared war on the United States days after the attack. Now America had no choice but step in to fight the world war. Because U.S. joint effort with the Allied forces, the World War II came to an end, and the massacre of tens of millions by Nazi Germany and the Imperial Japanese was stopped. Why did God allow the terrorist attack on 9/11/2001. Many of the families of victims are still suffering from it and have unsettling questions about it. Certainly, the terrorists did not intend what followed their attack. The totalitarian regime of Saddam Hussein was toppled off. According to the New Yorker, the removal of Saddam Hussein and the toppling of a whole succession of other Arab dictators in 2011 were closely connected. The U.S. invasion paved the way for young Arabs to imagine the removal of dictators elsewhere in the region and consequently led to the Arab Spring. Why did God allow the global pandemic of COVID-19? We cannot blame God for it, of course. Just like the Pearl Harbor attack and 9/11 terrorist attack, the pandemic appears to be man-made. But as God turned around those terrors for something good for humanity, God continues to write his salvation history during the pandemic. Vaccines have now become available, which is a miracle. And God has sustained our lives with his goodness throughout this global crisis. God rules the world with his sovereign power, and human history has become his story. We may practice our free will and plan our path, but God's greater force is at work always. Therefore, our life story has become God's story. May we acknowledge God's sovereign reign in our lives, in our nation, and the world, and submit all our ways to him. Amen.
Now is the time that I remind you to send your tithes and your offerings into the office. May I make one other suggestion? If you received a stimulus check, why don't you take 10%, one tithe, and include that in your pledge to the church to continue with our programs that we have so important. 10%. Thank you so much.
From whom all blessings flow, is God all creatures ye below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
We give you praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord Jesus, and humbly acknowledge that you are the ruler over our lives, over this nation, and over this world. With this offering, O Lord, we acknowledge that you are the source of all the blessings, and we've been blessed in every possible way. So we give you blessing with this act of thanksgiving. And we ask you to bless it, that it may be used to continue your ministry of salvation through programs, mission, and ministries of the House of Faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in our closing hymn, number 369, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture on my sight. Angel descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy whisper of. This is my story, this is my song, praising Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I, my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. This goodness lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Yes, Lord, we acknowledge our life stories is your stories. How you have sustained our life, how you have provided for us, how you have intervened in the time of our need. So, Lord, we acknowledge once more that you are our God, that you are our Savior, that you are our eternal companion. So, Lord, in spite of all the trouble that we may see, things may happen against our will. We know that you have everything under full control, that you are our sovereign God. So, Lord, may we trust in your loving care regardless and continue to abide in your grace and in your peace. So, Lord Jesus, send us forth in your peace. Amen.
Be afraid, God will guard you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast and true, no will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and sure you believe, reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith.